This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
The birther issue remains unsettled. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. On this Friday, September 16, glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump won't say that President Obama was born in the United States, but his campaign says it believes that Mr. Obama was, in fact, born here.
After 3 days of recovering at home from pneumonia, Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton has returned to the campaign trail. First stop, the swing state of North Carolina.
In addition to a recall by Samsung, the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission has launched its own recall of the Galaxy Note 7. Find out how to get your new one.
And how your social media accounts are slowly eating away at your family's finances.
1 in 10 people have either taken a vacation or made a purchase in the past year after seeing a friend or a peer's post about their vacation or purchase. So they saw this, you know, someone post about this on their Twitter, their Instagram or something, and then they purchased a vacation or something very similar to what they saw.
A little bit of FOMO, fear of missing out, right? Market Watch reporter Katie Hill on how some of our purchases are influenced by what our friends post on Facebook. She's here in about 20 minutes. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump is still being questioned about where he feels President Obama was born. It was part of a line of questioning with the media on board his plane yesterday on the tarmac in Canton, Ohio. He remains unwilling to say that Mr. Obama was born in the U.S., even though he's working to reach out to minority voters. Many minorities are deeply offended by Mr. Trump's long-refuted suggestion that the president is not a U.S. citizen. Mr. Trump refused to say whether he believes Mr. Obama was born in Hawaii. Now, his campaign says that it does believe the president was born in the U.S. That said, Mr. Trump continued his pitch to minorities while campaigning in New Hampshire.
Instead of providing free health care and jobs to refugees from around the world, we should rebuild our inner cities and help struggling Americans, and we should work with Hispanics. We should work with African-American citizens.
When told again that the birther issue could still hang over his candidacy and its appeal to that voting bloc in particular, Mr. Trump apparently glared at reporters on his plane and said, "I think it hangs over the reporters." Mr. Trump also said he's more bullish than ever on his chances to win and that he is not exploring the launch of a new media company in case he loses the race. After 3 days on the sidelines, Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton is back on the campaign trail. Speaking at the University of North Carolina, Greensboro, Mrs. Clinton said her recovery from pneumonia had given her an unexpected chance to reflect on why she was running for president. The Wall Street Journal says her campaign sees it as imperative to lay out a positive vision for herself and not just the case against her opponent, Mr. Trump. But she did bring up Mr. Trump's unwillingness to say that President Obama was born in Hawaii.
And he still wouldn't say Hawaii. He still wouldn't say America. This man wants to be our next president?
Mrs. Clinton in the final weeks is facing tightening polls as a newly and seemingly disciplined Mr. Trump has gained ground nationally and in key states. A New York Times CBS News poll, by the way, released yesterday, showed a virtual tie nationally. Key swing states such as Nevada, North Carolina, and Florida have seen some of the weakest income growth in the country since the last non-incumbent presidential contest in 2008. A Wall Street Journal analysis of new census data shows that more than half of the 13 states where the presidential race appears closely contested have seen below average income growth in those 8 years. Journal reporter Janet Adamy has a deeper look at the numbers. Janet, what have you looked at?
We looked at a batch of 13 states that are considered battleground states, so the usual suspects like Florida and Ohio. But we broadened the list as we saw that places like Arizona and Georgia are surprisingly tight. And on average, there were way more swing states that were below average in terms of income growth since 2008 than there were above average. So 8 of the 13 states we looked at had below average income growth. Notably, the very bottom three where incomes for the worst since 2008, Nevada, Georgia, and Arizona, all states that could help decide who wins the White House in 2016.
Interesting. All right. So what does that mean in terms of how, say, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton might pitch voters in those states?
Sure. You know, it's interesting. The map, the electoral map, the swing state map, it looks a lot different than it has in previous elections. And the conventional wisdom would say that this economic uncertainty, the extent to which voters just feel like they aren't getting ahead, would benefit the non-incumbent party, would benefit Donald Trump. But what we're seeing with some of these states, with the ones that are on the bottom, kind of runs counter to that. So, for example, Georgia and Arizona have not voted for a Democrat for president in at least 20 years, and yet this year the polling there is much closer than it's been in the past, to the extent that pollsters are calling these states, you know, potentially in play. So even though you would think that the weak income growth there would play well for Mr. Trump, it appears to not be helping him necessarily. And I think there are other factors at play there. In those particular states, they've seen a really big influx in minority voters, Latinos, and to some extent in Georgia, African Americans who are moving back to the South. And when I talked to pollsters about this, the feeling was, you know, there are bigger issues in this election. It's very much about these two candidates who have very high, you know, negative perceptions among the voters.
All right. So how about some of these states here, specifically, Janet, and what they're showing data-wise?
So Nevada was the one that came in the lowest. It was considerably below any of the other states. So since 2008, incomes have dropped 15.5% there. And it just shows that the housing bubble was so hard on that state, the burst of the housing bubble. Jobs have been coming back there, but it appears that these are lower-paying service jobs. So higher-paying construction jobs are gone. Lower-paying service jobs are coming in. Another state that surprised us was North Carolina, which has really been attracting employers and workers to its metropolitan areas, but they seem to be really lagging in the income recovery as well. Since 2008, incomes are down 6.7% there, and so they ranked 46th out of the 50 states in D.C. And what appears to be happening there is they did lose a lot of banking jobs during the recession. Tech employers and new financial services employers have moved into the state, but they also lost a lot of manufacturing jobs in the rural areas, furniture manufacturing, and so it appears that the state is lagging behind in that regard as well.
All right, so explain, too, the difference you found between, say, urban areas and rural areas.
So there's been a pattern for a while where incomes have been going up more strongly in the urban areas as opposed to rural areas. And what's notable when you start to break down the income growth by some of the regional differentiations is that historically suburbs have held up pretty well in recessions, and yet over the last couple of years the income growth has really been in the core cities, particularly mid-sized and larger cities, and people living in the suburban areas of these metropolitan areas have seen their income growth really lag. Some of those dynamics appear to be changing in 2015, but not to the point where people in the suburbs have really made up yet.
Thanks, Janet. Wall Street Journal reporter Janet Adamy in Washington. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at Dell.com/radio.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit Barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Thanks for being with us. Good Friday to you. Time to shut down your new Samsung Galaxy Note 7. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission has announced a formal recall of the smartphone in conjunction with Samsung. The move outlines the problems with the phone's exploding battery and guides users on how to return or replace the one they have. Yesterday's formal announcement says you should immediately stop using and power down the recalled Galaxy Note 7. The formal recall covers about a million devices. Elliot Kay is chairman of the Safety Commission.
Because this product presents such a serious fire hazard, I am urging all consumers to take advantage of this recall right away.
It says to contact the wireless carrier, retail outlet, or Samsung.com where you purchased your device to receive a new Galaxy Note 7 free with a different battery or a new replacement device. If you're not interested anymore, you can get a refund. The commission, by the way, says the number of units with overheating batteries is now 92, including 26 reports of burns and 55 reports of property damage. 21 minutes after the hour on this morning, Rasa Kay is here. She has more of America's First News.
Gordon returning to the campaign trail after nursing a bout of pneumonia. Hillary Clinton criticized Donald Trump before a crowd of mostly Latinos at the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Gala.
Every time we think he's hit rock bottom, he sinks even lower.
Clinton accused Trump of fostering ugliness and bigotry by refusing to acknowledge verbally that President Obama was born in the U.S. The Trump campaign says Trump believes Obama was born in Hawaii. The candidate himself won't discuss the issue right now. And he told The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon last night he's trying not to say as many shocking things while on the campaign trail. Calling Samsung's voluntary efforts inadequate, U.S. safety regulators stepped in yesterday with an official recall. The Consumer Product Safety Commission decided U.S. customers are eligible for refunds if they choose, Chairman Elliot Kay.
It's taken us time to get the materials we needed to provide that independent verification that consumers are going to get the remedy they deserve.
And replacements are expected in stores by next Wednesday. iPhone obsessives hoping to score a new iPhone 7 Plus at today's in-store release by camping outside for days or weeks will have to go home and shower with just a new iPhone 7, but not in jet black. Like the top-of-the-line model in any color, the jet black edition's available by pre-order only. French authorities today dismantled a makeshift camp in Paris as France struggles to cope with a growing number of migrants flocking to its capital. Close to 2,000 refugees from Sudan, Afghanistan, and Eritrea had set up tents in North Paris near the city's main railway station. They were taken by bus to shelters across the region. IT&T Educational Services closing its doors for good. The for-profit education company ending its long run today after facing federal sanctions. The Department of Education barred the school from enrolling new students who depended on federal aid. Ever hear that half of all marriages end in divorce? Not so, according to research from personal finance website WalletHub. It finds residents of Utah are least likely to see their marriage end. Just 16% of couples call it quits in the Beehive State. It's Washington, D.C., with 31% of couples filing dissolution papers as number one, but nowhere does that split stat approach 50%.
So who's peddling this then, the 50% stat? I've heard that, right? Just as you have.
Absolutely, but I think it's a question of how they're counting it and crunching it.
Wow. I mean, that's not even close, right, if
not
you look
even
at those numbers. Jeez. Thanks, Rasa. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could spend some time with us on this Friday. Time now for a personal finance update, and it's brought to you by TIAA. Discover what makes us a different kind of financial partner at the new TIAA.org. Do you get your ideas for vacations or other purchases from seeing Facebook posts from your friends? That could be costing you. A new survey finds roughly 4 in 10 of us with a social media account admit that seeing other people's pictures makes us look into a similar purchase or vacation. MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill says social media can eat into your bank balance. Katie, how so?
The
this is actually a few surveys showing that people, when they look at social media, they end up, you know, someone else's Facebook feed or Twitter or whatever it is, they end up buying things. So the first survey I found that was out this summer said that about 1 in 10 people have either taken a vacation or made a purchase in the past year after seeing a friend or a peer's post about their vacation or purchase. So they saw this, you know, someone post about this on their Twitter, their Instagram or something, and then they purchased a vacation or something very similar to what they saw. And another one, the Gallup poll found that 30% of Americans say that social media has an influence on their purchasing decision. So, you know, that's almost 1 in 3 saying, hey, social media has a really big impact on what I end up buying.
Ooh, and why is that? Just the ability of our friends to sell us on something versus, say, some commercial entity?
Yeah, I mean, of course, some of it is ads, right? I mean, there is, I think it's $36 billion next year social network advertising spending. But really, what a lot of what's going on here is that what we see on social media, we use to compare ourselves to. So, you know, you see someone's fabulous vacation, which, you know, if you look at Facebook, it seems like your friends are always on vacation. But, you know, you look and you compare, and a lot of times you either want the same thing or you want to one-up them, and then the cycle continues. No, you one-up them, you post all your pictures, they're like, oh, well, now I got to go to Bali or wherever,
oh,
and then, you know, it's kind of doing that. But it's funny, you do start to see these destinations really trending, you know, lately on my Facebook feed is Iceland, but I'm sure someone else is certain other things, but it does seem like, you know, this is really happening. And for some people, it becomes a real financial issue because they feel like, you know, they see, oh, well, it seems like everybody on my Facebook my Facebook feed has this certain bag or this certain pair of shoes, and they all seem to be going to this certain place, and I need to do that too. And so it really, for some people, becomes a real problem.
Mm. And that's interesting because, right, these are your people. You are like your friends, right?
You're probably quoting that, but yeah. I mean, some of them are and some of them aren't. But yeah, this is your network. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these social networks make it just much easier to compare yourself, right? You used to have to actually see somebody to do that, you know, but now it's kind of like, oh, you don't even have to do that. You just, you know, hop on Facebook, hop on Twitter, hop on Instagram.
Thanks, Katie. MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill in New York. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Sometimes it feels like there aren't enough hours in the day, even when you're working past the 9-to-5. So if you're still making time-consuming trips to the post office, you need a better way. Use Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, get the postage you need the instant you need it. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your computer and printer. It's quick and easy. You even save money with Stamps.com, too, and get special postage discounts you can't even find at the post office. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Get started with Stamps.com today. Within minutes, you'll be printing postage right from your desk. Go to Stamps.com, then click the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in the code DEAL. That's Stamps.com, then enter the code DEAL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, September 16. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: Hillary returns to the campaign trail. The government formally recalls the new Samsung smartphone. The iPhone 7 goes on sale today. In sports, Jets beat the Bills. A government committee in Nevada approves $650 million in public funding for a stadium for the Raiders. An Atlanta man is walking 650 miles to raise awareness about homelessness. The Guggenheim Museum has installed an 18-karat gold toilet, fully functioning, available for christening today. And was a guy in England really attempting time travel in his DeLorean? That story in about 20 minutes. While public concern around the country about heroin addiction is the highest it's been in years, the same cannot be said about attention on the national political stage. Well, why not? Google says searches about heroin peaked last week for the third time this year, at the highest level in the past 5 years. So why the silence? Here's Paul Singer, Washington correspondent at USA Today. Paul, what's going on here?
Well, Gordon, it started as a question about sort of, you know, what are the presidential campaigns saying about the heroin epidemic, because it has been a very, very hot topic in a lot of state races, particularly Senate races in key states. And as we started to root around, we just found not a lot there. Hillary Clinton has put out a fairly detailed plan for addressing the heroin crisis, $10 billion worth of treatment and prevention, and some other new rules on writing prescriptions for opioids. But she hasn't made a whole lot of events sort of around this topic. She's done some, not a lot. And it just hasn't dominated the narrative. Donald Trump has said almost nothing about it at all, other than when asked about it from time to time, he has said stuff like, well, building the wall will keep heroin out of the country. And other than that, it really has not been the dominant issue in the presidential campaign. We also looked at, in Congress passed a landmark opioids bill, basically. Again, a lot of treatment, a lot of prevention, some new rules on prescriptions. And they passed it in July, but they didn't pass the funding for it. Now that they're talking about passing a funding bill for the rest of the year to prevent the government shutting down, this has not been a topic. There have not been talks about trying to put more money in it for heroin or opioids. So it's sort of interesting. Again, you have this issue that is very, very potent, no pun intended, at the state level, and has really affected an enormous number of people, but it's not getting a lot of traction at the national political level.
Yeah, that's interesting. Obviously, when it comes to funding things, right, the Zika virus funding has been such a hot topic, yet that, I would imagine, affects far, far fewer people than heroin.
Right. It's interesting. We think Zika could be a problem. I think at the moment it probably has had an impact on, a handful of cases of actual, people, babies being born with defects, which is not, by any stretch of imagination, to minimize the potential impact or the impact on those families. But we believe at this point that opioids and drug overdoses are killing 47,000 people a year in this country, which is more than auto crashes. So when you ask the question, where is the money focus? The money focuses on a problem that is in some ways hypothetical and anticipated, as opposed to being on a problem that is dramatically actually here.
Yeah. We're speaking with Paul Singer, Washington correspondent at USA Today. His piece is called Heroin, Much Discussed in State Races, Now on Back Burner in National Politics. Is there a reason it's on the back burner? Because the numbers are just breathtaking in some states.
The numbers are breathtaking. I think there's a couple of reasons on the back burner, not the least of which is that if you are a member of Congress or a U.S. senator or you're running in a state where there is a race, you're hearing from these people every day. You are hearing from family members who have lost a loved one, or whose loved one is in addiction, or maybe in rehab. You are hearing from people who are having difficulty getting treatment because there are not enough beds, there are not enough professionals trained in this area. Someone told me, and these numbers are really shocking, that there are as many people suffering from addiction as there are people suffering from diabetes in this country, but there are 10 times more diabetes-trained practitioners than there are drug-trained practitioners.
Those are fascinating numbers. Paul Singer, Washington correspondent at USA Today. By the way, USA Today is now reporting that the Justice Department is working on a new strategy to address the heroin and opioid epidemic. In part, the paper says, by placing greater emphasis on identifying links between over-prescribing doctors and distribution networks across the country. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by Dell. Check out Dell's new XPS 13 laptop, featuring incredible battery life and performance that's four times faster. Learn more at dell.com/radio. Time now for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online over the past few days. We're joined live by Google Trends expert Nina Tyler. Good morning, Nina. Where do we begin?
Good morning. Well, Gordon, of course, we're beginning with September 11th. As you can imagine, lots of people turning to Google this past Sunday marked the 15th anniversary. So people wanting to know more about the attack and more about the memorial. We saw questions like, how tall is the 9/11 memorial? Is there a 9/11 memorial in Israel, which there is? People wanting to know when the 9/11 memorial opened. So lots of interest there, and people wanting to, kind of find out how they can pay tribute.
Please tell me nobody wanted to know when September 11th was.
No one wanted to know, but people wanting to know, you know, of course, you know, when it opened.
Because I think you and I discussed on July 4th, some people were searching for when is July 4th.
Yes. So people searching for that back then, but thankfully no searches for when was September 11th.
And fortunately this year it happened to be on the 4th of July, so that coincidentally worked out nicely. The health of the presidential candidates, a lot of searches this week.
That was front and center this week. You know, Hillary Clinton, she was fighting off pneumonia. Donald Trump, he appeared on the Dr. Oz show earlier this week and, you know, unveiled the results of his physical exam. So lots of interest there. People wanting to know, you know, when was Hillary diagnosed with pneumonia? Is Hillary seriously ill? And then on the flip side with Donald Trump, you know, people wanting to know, is he really healthy? What medications does Donald Trump take? This has really become, you know, a big news story over the past week.
How about American Horror Story?
That's right, American Horror Story. Fans of this of the show have been waiting for a little while for the sixth season to premiere. It premiered on Wednesday, and lots of people have been searching, you know, for teasers. Of course, you know, there were a total of 24 trailers for this season. So there's been a lot of lead up, and you know, people wanting to know what the theme of the season is. You know, and also looking for, you know, looking for those little moments that they can look forward to in the season.
Admittedly, I'm not a TV guy. What's the premise of this show?
Well, you know, I am not, I don't watch it myself, but I've heard really great things from all of my coworkers about it. American Horror Story, you may remember Lady Gaga. She's been featured in previous seasons. So there is kind of that appeal to, you know, the celebrity people that are involved.
Got it. We're speaking live this morning with Google Trends expert Nina Tyler about what we've been searching for over the past few days. All right, so this one I had not seen before. Who or what is Emma Sumac?
Yes, Mrs. Sumac. She's a legend. She's a Peruvian singer, and we celebrated her actually on our Google homepage with a Google Doodle. So we changed our logo to kind of feature her and give people a little bit of insight. There are probably some songs that you know that you've heard of hers.
What? Are you telling me that I've probably heard the music of a Peruvian opera singer? Is that what you're saying?
You may have. There are lots of people who are fans of hers that you might not expect. And you know, that's why we highlighted her on our homepage. But what's
so you drove this trend. You falsely created this trend by putting her on your Google Doodle page.
No, we saw tons of questions around her, Gordon. You know, people wanting to know how old was she when she died.
She's been dead 8 years. What have you guys done here?
Yeah, she died back in 2008.
She died
back in Los Angeles in 2008 at the age of 86. You know, but just kind of a fun thing also to know, people get really excited about our Doodle, Googles, and our homepage Doodles.
You do a good job with those.
Yeah, and also, you know, we announced our annual Doodle for Google contest this week where kids who are, you know, K through 12, they can submit their interpretation of the Google logo.
Okay.
And the winning Doodle, it'll hang on the Google homepage for about a day for millions of people to see. So, you know, if you enjoy the Doodles, that's something for you.
Very good. Thanks, Nina. As always, Google Trends expert Nina Tyler, giving me way too much credit for my cultural awareness, not knowing who Emma Sumac is. Well, here she is, the Peruvian opera singer. If you're looking to grow or relocate your business, there are three numbers you should know. 10, 2000, and 6. 10 stands for Michigan being one of America's top 10 states for business. 2000 is the number of burdensome regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6 stands for Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climates. All those numbers add up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. That's MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Donald Trump himself won't say it, but his campaign is declaring that the Republican presidential candidate believes now that President Barack Obama was born in the United States. Trump didn't address the issue last night on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, but again made the case for debating Hillary Clinton without moderators.
The concept of having us both sitting on stage or standing on stage, I like standing much better, but standing on stage and just debating. You know, they used to do debates that way. I think would be fascinating for people. I think it would be fascinating.
Hillary Clinton spent the evening reminding attendees at a congressional Hispanic caucus gala that Trump continues to use fear to divide the country.
Every time we think he's hit rock bottom, he sinks even lower.
The New York Times reports Clinton staff has had conversations with aides to Al Gore about bringing him onto the campaign trail with her to emphasize the importance of supporting Clinton for progress on combating climate change. A U.S. House intelligence panel says NSA leaker Edward Snowden is not a whistleblower. He's a criminal. The committee's report accuses Snowden of lying about his background, fighting with co-workers, and causing tremendous damage to national security. Snowden's been living in exile in Russia since leaking info about the extent of NSA surveillance. Some drivers in the eastern third of the country might see gas prices jump. A gasoline pipeline through the eastern U.S. has shut down after a leak was discovered a week ago. The leak in the pipeline that runs from Houston to New York happened in Alabama. Company officials say gas shortages will be most likely in Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, and the Carolinas. New research from Scotland's University of Aberdeen finds that watching TV series and consuming other media like films and books with one's partner can help to achieve the same kind of closeness as having a mutual group of friends. In relationships without many shared friends, the fictional characters take on a similar role, providing a shared social world, which the researchers say helps two individuals feel close and connected.
Really?
Yes, this is now grown-ups having imaginary friends together.
Well said. Thank you, Rasa. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. So a Back to the Future fan in England was clocked driving more than 88 miles an hour in his DMC DeLorean. It's a story from UPI. In the films, as you might recall, Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd's characters drove the vehicle at 88 miles an hour to travel throughout time. But 55-year-old Nigel Mills assured he was not attempting the same feat when police pulled him over for speeding. Says it was 11 o'clock on Sunday and the road was completely clear. Or as he said, it was 11 a.m. on Sunday and the road was completely clear. Paid $29,000 for the car. Takes it on the road just a few times a year. Mr. Mills, though, decided to fight the case, but it was ultimately thrown out after the prosecution offered no evidence, at least according to the Telegraph. He perhaps did himself no favors, though, for the next time he gets pulled over, telling The Guardian, quote, "I was fed up, like most motorists, of being a law-abiding citizen, but a soft target for the traffic police." For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.